Now, as I was preparing for this message the last couple of weeks, I was thinking about, and I came across, that video as part of my preparation, as far as part of the material. But Jeremiah 29:13 says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." And the last word in that scripture is heart. And I want to share with you from my heart for a minute before I get started. As leadership and had prepared when we were talking about the message that we were going to be speaking about. And it was funny, as I was talking with some of the other group as we were talking, the Lord had laid a message, what I thought, on my heart weeks ago. And this week, I really struggled putting it together. Weeks ago, if you'd asked me, I thought, hey, I was raring to go, and everything was okay. But as this week, I've never struggled to put a message together like I did this week. And if you guys remember, I brought a message forward about perspective some time ago. And it's funny now, but it wasn't as this week was going by. God was trying to get me to see, what he was trying to bring forth. And the message I thought weeks ago had to deal with God's presence. And this, God knows exactly what he's doing. The last song that the worship team had brought forward was talking about being in God's presence, right? And the joy of his presence. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. But, my perception wasn't correct. I was thinking about, and God was dealing with me about speaking and bringing forth a message about his presence. And we are, but not in the way I was thinking, right? I thought when God laid this message on my heart, he was thinking about, or trying to tell me that we needed to press into his presence. That's where I was going, but that's not where he was going. He was trying to tell me and help me to see it was about, or what this message is about, is spending time with him, being him, taking the time, and making the time. So it's all about relationship. That's what this message is about this morning, about being intentional, about being deliberate, and about being focused. Now, in the business I'm in, I'm a sourcing manager. I deal with big contracts and negotiate all the time. And I always tell the guys that come in to see me and when I'm doing business deals, business is all about one thing. It's about relationship. I tell them that over and over again. And life, it's not just business, it's relationship. And our service to God, it's about relationship. Everything, a relationship, though, takes two people, right? Two parties working together in unison in order to have a relationship. And I talked about, our message this morning is about being intentional, about being deliberate, being focused. Jeremiah 29:13 again says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." And what God's saying is he wants us to be with him. He wants a meaningful relationship, right? And not just checking a clock, not just putting time in, not just saying, hey, we know him, not just going through the run of the mill. He wants a relationship, a two-way relationship, right? And you sit there and say, well, okay, but I want you to stop and take a look at the day and the hour we live in. There's a competition for our time. There's a competition for your mind. There's a competition for your focus, right? And I bet you there's not a person in here that doesn't have a smartphone device or a tablet. First of all, it was computers. Now, it's about having a smartphone. Forget about your car, your bank account. You got to have a phone, a smartphone, right? And I think about, I remember telling the story with the kids, like they used to wonder, like, what happened if you wanted something and on the way home, right? You wanted to get a meal or something like that. I said, well, we would pull off the road and you go to a telephone booth. And I'm like, a telephone booth? What are you talking about? I said, yeah, if you wanted to get a pizza, you wanted a sub, you got off the side of the road, you hope you remembered the number, right? And you dial and you place the order, right? And I tell people that now, like, we brought up when a horse and carriages are around or something, right? Everybody now has a smartphone. You ever stop and think about how did we get from one place to another before we had GPS, right? How did people know how to get to this road? I'm driving down, man, what would you do, right? So everybody's got a smartphone, or they got a laptop, or they got a tablet, right? Or they got a Bluetooth. Nothing wrong with any of this stuff. But all I'm saying is, the reason I bring this up, you ever been out to a restaurant? One of my bosses and I were at this, and he took his little kids out, and they were at a restaurant, and everybody there at the table had a smartphone, every one of them. And he watched. And there was no conversation the whole time. Nobody talked. You know, and you know, when we get there, it's like, it used to be a male thing, right? Because when men watch TV, we look at, you know, we're flipping a challenge, you know, the wives and girlfriends would all get upset. But we have a different perspective. We're always worried about what we might be missing, not what we're watching, right? Because I'm not watching, but there might be something else better on, right? And I want to find out, right? And it's the same thing. You're sitting there with your smartphone, you're looking through this, and you're like, hey, what's happening? What's going on, right? And people can be sitting right next to one another, and they can be texting one another. God forbid they got to put the phone down and say, hey, what do you want to do later? Or, hey, did you hear about, you know, no, we got text. Same thing in the, you got, people could be sitting in the living room, right? And they're sitting there and they'll just text one lunch instead of asking a question, right? Now, maybe if you're on the third floor of the house and you're down a basement, might be good instead of yelling to the top, you're like, hey, mom, right? You text, hey, whatever, I get that. But our skills for interrelationship, right, for interacting with one another are starting to wane. Right, we're starting to lose the ability to interact with one another. So we're missing the personal interaction, not only with one another, but all this competition, all this demand for our time, right, and the busyness of our schedule, we're missing a personal action mostly with our Savior. You know, you take a look at how busy we are now, and we're running here and there, whether you have kids or in sports or you have your business schedule or have something else, there's always a demand for your time as well. And your intentions can be good. They can be honorable. But before you know it, right, the day is over. I go to work before I know it. Monday, it's Friday, right? And before this week goes, I mean, we're now in the middle of August. I'm like, what happened to June, right? But I'm in August already. And before we know it, so I tick my wife off when I say it, Christmas will be here. Right? So you just sit there and look at how this year is flying by. So if you take a look at the weeks and the months and the years, our days go that way. And by the time you get up in the morning, you're in bed at night. And where did you spend any time in a relationship with the Lord? Now, I remember Danielle had said this. I remember Pastor Jimmy said this, and it's true. I don't know about the rest of you, but if there was a mirror in front of me, right, I'm speaking to myself, right? Because a lot of times, when God lays a message in our hearts, a lot of times, it fits a person bringing the message for too. You don't get immunity tag. Hey, you speaking. Hey, you get out of jail free card, right? Or you get a pass this week. Or now, you know what? Don't have to worry about getting voted off the island this week or anything else, right? Nah, it doesn't work that way. 9 times out of 10, and maybe even more, it's for the person bringing it forward too. So if none of you else get this, it's good for me, right? So you can just listen, and maybe you can just take it and share it with somebody else. But I had a coach in school. John Sansone was his name, great man. And I remember I played lacrosse in high school, and I knew of the sport, but I really didn't want to get too much involved in it. So he got all of us guys to get involved and get into it. And I remember playing, there were guys that came out for the football team, and they thought you put a stick in a guy's hand, right? They didn't think it was so much a skill as catching, passing, and shooting. They thought it was a weapon, right? And you get in there, and these guys used to tell the coach, oh, I can do this, I can do that. And the coach, you know, he's been a coach a long time. And his famous saying to all of us, and it follows me to this day, you know, he said, talk is cheap, show me. Guys, when you get there, coach, I can play this, I can do this position. And he's like, look, you get out there and show me, right? I don't want to hear your talk. It's cheap. Show me, right? So going along with that, I wanted to take a look at some scriptures that I'm going to take you to show you. And before I get into that, there's one thing I showed you about the discipleship. And it follows suit with what Mark had preached the week 2 weeks ago, what Danielle did last week, right? And I think all this follows in suit because, you know, it all starts at the altar. It's about once you find Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, having a relationship and taking a deeper walk and walking on the straight path and the narrow. But discipleship means teaching. Right? It's one thing to lead somebody to the Lord, but you want to see them make heaven their home. You want them to grow in their faith and in the knowledge and the wisdom of the Lord so they have a deeper faith. They become stronger in Christ, and they can help nurture and reach others and lead others, right? So when we become a disciple, or we, as children, we're supposed to make other disciples and help others, right? And what are we doing? We're teaching. We're encouraging. We're leading. We're instructing. We're helping them. We're building them up. We're making and molding and helping them to mature into what God wants them to be. You know, Mark talked about 2 weeks ago, God always intended to be with us, right? Having a real meaningful relationship with us. And it was one that was supposed to be constant, right? You know, throughout the day. So what I want to take a look at is, first of all, being intentional, right? 1 Peter 1:13 says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober," right? And that's just the first part of that. So what is he saying, right? Peter's saying here that I talked about our attention, our focus, our what's going on throughout the day. It's saying here, gird up the loins of your mind. We need to be tended, right? We need to be on guard. You know, there's a thing about training your mind, and it's no different than your muscles. Your mind has to be trained too. And every time you go through something, you deal with something, you have an opportunity. You can let it affect you for good. You can let it affect you for bad. That can be something that God takes and makes and molds and shapes and fashions you into what he wants you to be. Danielle talked about being on the straight and narrow. You know, in order to find that way, in order to stay that way, there's things you have to do and there's things through, and there's things that help mold you into the person that God wants you to be. So being, and that's what he's saying here about being tough-minded, right? He's saying be intentional. So you have to intentionally train your mind, make sure that you're going in the right way and listening and obeying what God wants you to do. Be deliberate is the next step. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 from the King James Version says, "And exercise thyself rather unto godliness, for bodily exercise profiteth little. Godliness is profitable unto all things, having a promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." Now, I want to draw your attention. We live in a society, right? Gold's Gym, everybody's like, you know, it's CrossFit, there's people running, there's mutters, everybody's like in all these, you know, exercise things, and it's focus on that. You see all these people, nothing wrong with exercise. I could use a lot more of it myself. I could use a lot more. I could use some. How about that? So, but bodily exercise is important, right? No one likes it. It takes work, and it takes, first of all, commitment, right? But it also has a benefit in this life, but it's not going to get you to heaven. You can be the most fit individual on the face of this planet, and just because you're buff and you're all this stuff and you can run a mile in 3 minutes and you can do it, that doesn't get you to heaven. It might help your heart, your physical heart, your body, your physique, all that. And that's why the Bible says it profiteth little. There's a benefit to it, but it's not going to get you to heaven, okay? So, but it goes on to say, godliness is profitable unto all things, right? Having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Godliness, right, in order to have godliness, we have to be deliberate about it. We have to work at it. Just like exercise, just doesn't happen. You're not going to go to bed tonight because you ate right, you exercised, or just because you came to church, you sang a few songs, you read a scripture. You have to work at it, right? You have to have a right relationship with the Lord, a constant relationship with the Lord. Be in with him, right? Be in a right place with him, be deliberate about it, and work at it, right? We have to, we have to feed ourselves properly. Just like when you're doing this exercise, you can't be like me eating chocolate chip cookies whenever the whim hits you, which is pretty regular. Hershey bars, all that other good stuff. And I always tell everybody at work, if you don't want it, feel free to give it to me and I will perform a public service. But the rest of them, you know, they're going to the gym, they're doing all that stuff, and that's good. But just like you feed your body, right? So you can't be eating that kind of stuff for exercise, right? You can't be drinking sodas, doing all this stuff in order to be fit. Well, it's the same way what you feed your spiritual man, your spiritual body. It's about being in constant tune with the Lord, praying, you know, going to church, reading your Bible, but, you know, interacting with the Lord and following and living according to God's word, just like Mark and Danielle had preached about the last 2 weeks. So I want to take a look at being focused. And Matthew 6:21 talks about, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So whatever is your number one priority, wherever your treasure is, whatever is most important, that's where you're going to put your time, your thoughts, your abilities. You're going to focus on that. And we need to do that same thing. We need to treasure the Lord above all else. Treasure our relationship above all else. Why? Because if we do, then we'll make it a priority. We'll find time throughout the day to spend with him, because I'm telling you, it's really easy to get up out of the morning before you go to bed not to have and spend any time in his presence. And whether that's, like some have said, spending it in the shower, driving on the way to the work, right, while you're on the throne, whatever you're doing, right, there is time that's, you know, available that you can just take it. Sometimes we say, well, maybe I want it to be more, you know, focus area. You know, the Bible says to find a place in your prayer closet, but sometimes that might not, you know, you might not have the opportunity. But when you're in a car, when you're in a shower, wherever you're doing, you can find time to talk to the Lord and spend time in His presence. And when I'm talking about spending time in His presence, mostly I'm talking about, you know, recognizing who He is and worshiping Him and loving Him and loving on Him. So when we take a look, going back to intentional, right? If we're intentional, what are we doing? We're loving Him. Deuteronomy 26:10 says, "Now behold, I have brought the first of the produce of the ground, which you, O Lord, have given me, and you shall set it down before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God." And we have what we have in this life, right? I mean, you have to work for it. You have to go after it. But we have what we have because God has blessed us, our health, our families, our jobs, our finances, whatever we have, right? God has blessed and provided us. And it goes on to say, and we need to recognize it. And when we do, we will be thankful to Him. We will love Him. We will praise Him. We will worship Him. We will thank Him. But it goes on, and you shall set it down before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. So in this we see here they brought the first, right? Didn't come and say, "Hey, Lord, I'll give you the leftovers," right? Now, leftovers are good, but you wouldn't want to eat leftovers all the time. And when you think about leftovers, right, you really enjoyed the main meal first where those leftovers came from, right? When you sat down there, it's good to have some leftovers, but you really enjoyed what you had before, and it's the same way. God wants us to bring Him our first fruit, our best. And this is what tithes is all about, right? It's about bringing the first, showing God you honor Him and showing God that, you know, you reference Him and it's important. Now, I'm going to talk about being deliberate again, talking about when we're deliberate, we will serve Him. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:24-25, "And let us consider how we may spur one another," and this is a New International Version, right? "Let's consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the manner or habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." What day approaching? You know, we're waiting for the Lord's return, and that could be before I'm finished, it could be the end of this week, it could be next week, it could be next month, it could be next year, I don't know, but the Lord is coming. And I'd rather be found in His house than not outside of His house. And this whole thing that what I'm sharing is, what God laid on my heart wasn't, and I'll talk about this later, a sense of rebuke, but it was about, like, I think, like a gentle reminder and encouraging, saying, "Hey, you know, I want to spend time with you, and I want you to spend time with me," right? And it's the same way here. We come to church, right, because we need to worship Him. And we come here, and when we worship Him, we give Him our heart, and we give Him our attention. And yes, we can do that outside of church. You don't really have to be in the building in order to do that. But it starts at church, right? And it's refueled at church. You just don't fill your car up one time. Now, if anybody has one or knows where you can get one of these, let me know. But I don't know of a vehicle yet that you just fill one time and you're done, okay? And it's the same way when you come to church. When you come to church, right, you get revived, you get refueled. And when you do that, you worship with other brothers and sisters and believers. People can encourage you. They can pray with you, right? And it's part of the relationship that we're building. And I'm not saying that if you're not here, it's wrong. Look, people need vacation. They need to refuel to get away from the job. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you can be in church, you should be in church. And the main reason we do that is just like we talked about in Deuteronomy, the first fruits, about bringing the Lord your attention, your time. You just don't tithe money, you tithe your time too. And I think a lot of times I kind of forget that, right? Be focused, right? We talked about, so when we're focused, we're honoring Him. Matthew 15:8 says, and I'm taking for the new translation here, it says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." And when Jesus was walking the earth, the Pharisees claimed to be they were the religious sect. They claimed to know God. But yet, as Coach Sandstone would say, they talked cheap and they didn't do, right? So they claimed to know God, but they didn't. They didn't have a right relationship. They weren't in a right standing with Him. And the only reason I bring this up, as I said before, was that this serves as a reminder that we don't want to be like that, right? It's a loving reminding of what happened when people, you know, claim to be something that they weren't. If we're not careful, we could find ourselves, vying off the path. So we don't want to become neglectful, I guess is what I want to say. So he's calling attention here, reminding us not to forget about him throughout the day, not to become so busy he becomes an afterthought, right? We're trying to find time to squeeze him in. I would say and tell you that being in the presence of God, nothing can take the place of God. Nothing can take the place of Jesus' presence. And why is it so important to be in the presence of the Lord? Right? The reason being is in his presence we find comfort. In his presence we find peace. In his presence we find joy. In his presence we find satisfaction. And in his presence, as we spend time there, he can minister to us. He can speak to us. He can give us direction, and he can make our paths straight. And we're not going to the Lord to, I almost thought about when I was going to do this message about call it God's presence. And I thought I was thinking about putting like a Christmas tree and a bunch of presents underneath it and all that stuff. But a lot of time, that's almost what we do. And as a first reaction, we go running to the Lord and, Lord, I need this. Lord, I need that. Lord, can you help me with that? And that's why when the Lord gave us the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, it's not a certain prayer we pray. It's a template and a format to follow. And the first thing it says is, Our Father, which art in heaven. And it's about recognizing who he is and giving him the praise and the honor that he is deserving of, let alone worthy of. It's about recognizing him for who he is, not what we can get out of him. Right? It's about being what he wants us to be, about loving him, being a blessing and encouragement and a help to others. So there's two things I want to do in closing. I'm going to read this last scripture, right? And then I'm going to do like my coach taught me, and I'm going to teach you guys. So this is the last scripture I'm going to read this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 through 16, and this is from the New Living Translation. This is Paul's final instructions to a minister that he discipled in Timothy, right? And this is the words of encouragement, words of instruction that he gave him. But you, Timothy, are a man of God. So run from all these evil things. Pursue righteousness and a godly life, along with faith, love, perseverance. And as I go through this, I couldn't help as I'm reading this, and it wasn't part of that, but it goes along with the message that Danielle preached last week about walking the straight and narrow, right? That's what he's saying here. And he goes on and talks about perseverance. Perseverance about being deliberate, being focused, being intentional. He says, fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have declared so well before many witnesses. And he's saying here, look, you've lived the life. You truly have a testimony, and people see that, right? He said, I charge you before God who gives life to all, and before Christ Jesus, who gave a good testimony before Pontius Pilate, that you obey this command without wavering. Then no one can find fault with you from now our Lord Jesus Christ comes. For at just the right time, Christ will be revealed from heaven by the blessed and only Almighty God, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And he alone can never die, and he lives in light so brilliant that no human can approach him. No human eye has ever seen him, nor ever will. So what are we supposed to do? His closing statement here, all honor and power to him forever. Amen. Now, my coach said talk is cheap. Show me. I could ask all you guys to stand. We can pray. I could have you come up here and pray. But God impressed on me so strongly about this and dealt with me this week about having a relationship with him and spending time with him and about worshiping him. So I'm not having you come up here to pray, to talk, right? You know, if you watch that video, one of the things that stood out to me was when the worship team was up singing, right? You had a person looking at their watch, right? And a lot of times you come to church, and look, I'm not throwing stones, right? It's sometimes it's unintentional. It's almost like a routine or a habit. And we're thinking, okay, and I'm inside like, hey, when will I be done? That's not what I'm talking about. It's like, okay, I got a meeting after church, or I got to go eat, or I got this or that, and you're looking at your watch, right? And it's so easy when you're for your mind to run here and run there. So what I want you to do is I'm going to have Mark pull up here in a minute a link that I put up here, and it's a song called What a Beautiful Name. And I want you to stand. I want you to sing along with the words. It's going to be about 5 minutes, but you won't know it because when it goes through. But I want you to forget about what you're going to do from this moment till you've done that song. Because I want you to fix and focus your mind on the Lord and Savior, and I want you to worship him. I want you to realize and just think in your mind you're singing who he is, and he is worthy of our praise. And we're going to start this day off by worshiping. And yeah, and we could have worshiped earlier, and we did. But I don't know, hopefully your minds and all that were in the right place. I'm back at the door, you know, greeting people coming in and everything else. But I'm going to take this opportunity to, just along with you, just like my coach said, do it. Don't talk it. Do it. So this is a way to start the day off. And what we need to do throughout each day, right, is find some time. And not just talking to him, but spending quality time with him, right? Find a way to steal away and just talk to him. And it doesn't, you can have a deliberate conversation with the Lord while you're just walking down the road, you're driving, but it's just about making sure you spend some time in his presence. You want to try it one more?
Stand in front here, worship a lot. You were the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin, what could separate us?
While you're standing, I'm going to close in prayer. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, in the name of your only begotten Son. I thank you, Lord, that there is none that can stand before you, that at every knee and every tongue will confess to the glory of the Father that you are Lord. I thank you that there is power in your name, and that you are our Savior, you are our Deliverer, you are our ever-present help. That, Lord, we can do all things, Lord, through. And I come to you, Lord, and ask in prayer, Lord, that you would help each and every one of us, Lord, and help me. Help us, Lord, to be deliberate, to be intentional, to be focused in our love, in our honor, and in our worship, Lord, of you, in our service and our gratitude to you. Help us each and every day, Lord, whether it's whether we first open our eyes in the morning to thank you for a new day, to thank you for who you are, to thank you, Father, for the gift of your only begotten Son. And when we lay our heads down to sleep, if it's just our last words to say, thank you for keeping us safe this day. Thank you for safe journeys and travels. Thank you for ministering to our needs this day, for keeping your hand upon our family. But above all, Lord, for saving our souls, Lord, giving us, Lord, the hope of heaven. I pray, Lord, help each and every one of us, Lord, to be intentional, deliberate, and focused. Keep your hand upon each and every one. Bring us all back at the next appointed time. Help us to disciple and reach and win and lead others for you. For we ask all these things, Father, in the precious, lovely, wonderful, holy, blessed, and almighty name of Jesus. Amen.